We give God the glory for all that He is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before we get started, just a reminder for those that came in late, today's our Mission Sunday. That's why you have that in your bulletin, a little missions update. And if you have your missions offering, you're free to put them in, or you're free to put them in anytime. You can just take that envelope that's provided. You know, one of the blessings this year is we prayed and felt the Lord leading us to, in faith, increase our monthly giving to each missionary. So we were giving, you know, $35 a month to everyone. Now it's $50 a month. We've been giving. So thank you for your faithfulness, because we are able to do that because of the faithfulness of His people. Amen? Amen. Would you right now stand with me? Let's give God glory for His word. Kids are free to go to children's church. Would you raise your Bibles with me? Jim, can you take a little bit of the highs off? Here, Tinny over here. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. May be seated. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new series on character qualities. Character qualities. You know, we went through a series on our values and vision, and we want to now build on that by talking about the kind of character qualities we want to equip and build this church on. And the first one was teachable spirit. And if you missed that, you know, you can go on our website and check it out. And just listen to it, and I know you will be blessed. Today I want to talk about being passionate. Being passionate for Jesus Christ. Being passionate for the things of God, for the kingdom of God. Being passionate. Now, we have in our heads an idea of what passion is. Unfortunately, most of that has to do with what we see on TV. Just like we have an idea of what love is, and most of that is from what we watch on screen, on a big screen or TV, and we all know that's primarily lust, not love, not pure, the love of God that comes from God Himself, isn't authentic love. And I want to define passion for you, being passionate to you today in the way we believe God wants to build in us as a character quality. To build that in us. So, your passions, we've said this before, your passions translate to other people. Not your words, not your actions. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life about something, they will take note of how passionate you are about it before they embrace what you do or what you say. If I sit here and say, I want to talk about passion today, and I want to just tell you how passionate I am for Jesus Christ, that's not going to translate. But if I'm sitting here saying, I want to talk to you about how passionate I am for Jesus Christ, how much I love Jesus, how much He means to me, He's my everything, you're going to see that, and that's going to reflect. So this is why it's important for us to let the fire that God burns within us translate into our lives, into a passionate expression. But it can't be phony. It has to come from here. It has to be sincere, and we're going to get into that. See, passions are impactful, and they're the things that connect to others. When you hear someone give a great speech, you're not going to remember the content, but you're going to remember the way they presented it. It's that passion that breaks through. That's what hits home. I got permission to share this from David Arose today. Last week, there was an amazing time, an amazing thing that happened that impacted his life at Youth Group Sunday night. He ended up being the one to do the devotion after our softball game, after, might have to say, a very closely hard-fought softball game. All we needed was 19 more runs and we would have won. So, but anyway, he gave the devotion at our softball game. And you know what he shared? He shared what God did for his life. How God touched him. And it came through in his heart. It was in the 5, 6, 7, 8 years of our softball team's existence when we do our devotions or prayer time. It may have been, and I shared this with him, the most impactful devotion time. It was only like 5 minutes. We may have ever had on the softball field. Why? Because his heart was revealed. His passion, what Jesus did in him, he expressed it in his heart. And it touched so many, even me. He touched me on what God is doing. Your passions translate. So what are some characteristics of a passionate heart? First one is an obedient person. For me to be passionate for Jesus Christ, me be passionate about what God is doing here in our church and what the things that are going on, having the kingdom mindset, passionate about his kingdom, I have to be obedient to him. Part of being obedient is I have to believe in what I'm passionate for. I have to believe in it. I have to be a follower of it, a disciple of it, an example of it. And as we studied in the past, a Talmudim, which is, for those that aren't familiar with that term, it's a Jewish disciple to the rabbi, but more than a disciple, but somebody who wants to be the rabbi. Everything the rabbi is teaching, they want to embrace and be. It's a lifestyle, and it's sold out. You're sold out to that belief system. You believe in it, therefore you're passionate about it. You're obedient to it and its standards. See, part of being obedient is also realizing that, you know, when we're told to do something by God or led in it by God, we don't do it halfway. We go all the way in. We are obedient all the way through because, see, obedience involves sacrifice. Obedience involves sacrifice. And as what we've shared a lot over the last 6 months, the altar fire comes down from heaven when the sacrifice is on the altar. When there's no sacrifice on the altar, God is not going to release a fire. That comes down when the sacrifice is there. I don't turn my oven on just to get it running if I'm not putting anything in it. I turn it on because I'm baking something. God wants to bake in us his presence, his spirit, his passions. He wants to do it. So I have to be willing to make a sacrifice. And right now, I want to ask if Madeline Mark would come down. They're going to share, ask them to share a brief testimony. Mark and Madeline have been faithful and have committed to the Wednesday night HD group. And I want them to kind of share something that happened a few weeks back.
One Wednesday night we got several Bible studies in my home. Mark went to bed, and I went to bed after, and he told me that would be about 1. All of a sudden, something jumped in my body and hit, and we both woke up like, "Oh my God!" I said, "Did you feel that?" He goes, "Yes." And then I woke up, and God said to me that we were going to do Bible study classes with people in our home, and we were very excited to hear that from him. He's going to, I don't know how to do it very well, but he's going to show me and Mark how to do it. And we had one, and we were excited that Jenny and her sister came. And we did pretty good, but we were very excited about doing it. And that's what he's telling us that we're going to do.
Yeah. I just want to say that for months, we've been taking the idea. Mm-hmm.
Good reader, neither. Back in the day, I didn't read very well.
But can you share real quick how it happened that you had the one night at your house? How that worked out? How that came about?
He was holding me. And all of a sudden, my body jumped, and his too. And we woke up like, did you feel that? He goes, yes. What just happened? I said, something went in our body. And he goes, I know. And we were like, well, and that was it. I was awake after that.
And it was funny at the same time. We both.
Yeah.
Someone scared us or started, you know, yeah. And we flung up. It was wild.
And what happened? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Before you go, what happened was Maureen had to cancel at her home that one Wednesday night. So they were going to cancel HD altogether. Holy Spirit said no. Spoke to them. And they were obedient to make the sacrifice, sacrificing their fears on the altar. And the fire of God came down and worked. So thank you guys so much. Just wanted them to share that testimony for you. That's a passionate heart. That's obedience within passion. John 6:60-69 says this. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about what he had said, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, but who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. So some chose to remain passionately obedient. Others chose to walk away. Because when push comes to shove, this is it. Here's the line. You are with me or you're not with me. You can't have both legs. If you're passionate about something, you're passionate about it and you're obedient to its call. You're not dabbing here and dabbling there and dabbling back and forth. You're committed to it. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. Then Jesus said to his 12, do you also want to go away? Listen to what Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, we recognize who you are. We know what your words are doing. We believe in your words. We're passionate about being followers of you obediently. So where else would we go? So we're going to stick to what we've been taught. We're going to stay obedient to this. John 10:4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow in obedience to the shepherd's voice. As a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, I spent time with him. Why am I? Because if I wasn't passionate about him, I would not be willing to follow him. I wouldn't know his voice if I wasn't passionate about him. Think about your favorite rock star or actor or actress. Or you hear a song, you know it's them. You hear them speak in an interview. You don't have to be watching the TV. You know their voice. Why? Because you've unconsciously studied them. If you're that into them, you're that passionate about them. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for his sheep. Just like Peter said, where else can we go? We're going to stay obedient to this because you have life. You are life. John 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. They stay obedient to me, they're mine. I will cover them. I will protect them. They're my sheep. I'm not giving them away, and I'm not letting anyone come and steal them and hurt them. They are my sheep. Obedient heart is a passionate heart. Second element of passion, or another within passion, a person is a repentant heart. Remember, Bobby shared with us last week, to repent means simply, I change my mind about what I've been doing or the way I've been. That's the definition of repenting, changing my mind. And a repentant heart also allows the Holy Spirit to uncover, this is important, things that hinder obedience. You got to keep in mind, we've all grown up in different ways. We've all had struggles from we were wee little high. We've got scars and calluses, emotional and mental scars and calluses that we may have gone through, some of us. But here's the beautiful thing. The great physician, your loving Father, wants to love you through them to eliminate the scars, to heal those wounds. So a repentant heart says, I'm not going to be prideful about my issues, but Lord, I confess my issue of pride. I confess, just like Mark and Madeline shared, my issue of fear. Because there's a root to that fear that's opened the door for it. I confess it, and I ask you to heal it, and I'm going to be obedient through it so that I can do that. Repentant heart lets the Holy Spirit uncover anything that will get in the way of an obedient within that passion for the Lord. Whether it's unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, hurt, jealousy, all those things. A repentant heart, to be passionate, lets the Holy Spirit uncover them. Let God heal those wounds and get past those hurts. Let God, repentant heart, let in a passionate way, lets God set them free from the bondage and the strongholds. And what that does, now it creates room for God to work and God to move. Say, I believe that whole 3-year process, Jesus walking with his disciples, what he was doing is he was dealing with their idiosyncrasies. He was dealing with their traditions, their religion. He was dealing with the mental stronghold. Listen to me here. The mental stronghold that said, we're stupid because we're fishermen, or we're uneducated because we're fishermen, and here the rabbis and the priests and the scribes are the smart ones. He took him all that time because they were not ready to be empowered. They were not at a place where they can be filled and be bold enough to do what they needed to do till those things were out of their head and their heart and their spirit, till the Holy Spirit cleaned them out. Remember, Jesus sent them when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts, and they changed the world, and they were as proficient in the Word of God as any scribe or Pharisee or rabbi. But while they were with him, he sent them out on little mini missionary journeys, testing the waters to bring out their weaknesses so that they can be revealed and they can deal with them. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan? He spoke to the demon, to the spirit that was behind Peter's word that held a stronghold on his heart. That needed to be cleansed. A passionate person is repentant to the point of letting the Holy Spirit clean them out. Luke 9:23, and he says to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, clean out the other stuff. Where are your priorities? Repent of those things. Make it right. Follow me. Matthew 19:16-22. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I will have eternal life? He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. If you want to enter my life, into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've done since my youth, what do I still lack? I can almost hear a kind of a sad chuckle going. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. You want to be perfect, and then you will have the treasure in heaven. Come follow me. If you want to be perfect, go clean out the thing that's still a stronghold in your life. The thing that keeps you so full that I have no room for my spirit in you to work in your life. For some of us, it could even be busyness. Some of us, it could be family, making a family more of a priority than Jesus. And I know we have to repent about that. If I ever make my wife more important than my relationship with Jesus, I have to repent. Because she's his daughter first, but I am his before I am hers, and she is his before she is mine. I have to repent of those things and let God create the room. Because see, when he has the room to work, what is the word of God said? All these things shall be added unto you, and you will be satisfied. It wasn't about the money. It was about the bondage, the fear, the insecurity, all leading to an inability to be passionate for Jesus as his heart was already spoken for by these things. His heart was closed to what God wants to do because he had too much other stuff that he wasn't willing to let cleanse. And we can, in Luke 9, I'm not going to read it, but Luke 9, verse 57 to 62, you hear another person come up to Jesus and he says, yeah, I'll follow you. Let me go bury my mom and dad. And Jesus said, again, let the dead bury the dead. You need to follow me. Again, it's not about the dead, the mom and dad themselves, but the condition of the heart. The priority wasn't there. Need to be repented, uncovered, dealt with to be set free. Let me say that again. Repented, uncovered, to be dealt with, to be set free. One more time. Repented, uncovered, to be dealt with, to be set free. To make room for Jesus to work in our lives. Third, hungry. Hungry. How desperate, we just sang that. How desperate are we for God? How desperate are we to be in the presence of Jesus? How hungry of the more? I can't get enough. I want to soak him in. I'm not satisfied with mediocrity. Unfortunately, this is where most Christians in most churches rest. Let me just stay in comfort and in mediocrity. I'm doing just enough where I give a reason to myself to make me feel good that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not doing enough where I'm crossing that line of passion for Christ. I'm not hungry enough. And unfortunately, that leads to a critical spirit sometimes when others are being driven passionately. And what's inside of me, if I'm resting in mediocrity, is look at them. They're the Jesus freaks. They're the crazy ones. They're this, they're that. And I start to become critical. I allow a critical spirit in my life. Passionate heart is a hungry heart. I want more. I want more, Lord. More of you in my life. I want you in my dreams. I want you in visions. I want you to be alive in my workplace. I want you in my home. I want you wherever I am. I want to be your ambassador. I want you to go with me. I want to grow. I want to know. I want to be. I want to be with you. Wanting the more of God. Recognizing that there's still so much more of God. Completely sold out. Greatest fear of somebody who's hungry for the Lord is simply missing out on what God wants to do at that moment. That's one of the things that attracted me to my wife when we first met. And if you know our testimony, you know I didn't like her when we first met. But What stuck with me walking out was the fact that she said to me, her greatest fear is to be out of God's will. No matter what happens, she does not want to be out of God's will. And that stuck to me. I was so impressed by that. A passionate person has that in their heart. They're pursuing the heart of God. They take every opportunity to grow, to be a disciple or Talmudine. They want the presence, we've said this many times, and purpose of God above all. Lord, I want to be in your presence wherever I am, and in your presence, I want to know your purpose that I can be obedient and give glory to your kingdom. I'm hungry for you. Mark 7:24 through 30 says this. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, wasn't a Jew, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. And for those who don't know, this was a symbol of saying, let the Jews, because he came for the Jews first, then the Gentiles. Let the Jews be filled first. Receive what I'm offering first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. In other words, what I have offering to the Jewish people, it's not good to take their stuff and give it to Gentiles were known as dogs to the Jewish community back then. And she answered, said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, because you got it, you understood it, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when he had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. Why would I use this? Let me show you something. She could have said, well, the heck with you then, criticizing me, calling me a dog, or really what that means is wild animal. Wild animal. But you know what? She swallowed her pride. She knew the principles of God. But she was hungry for God to do something and was willing to make that sacrifice in obedience of her pride of whatever else to keep pressing into him. What about the story of the paralyzed man whose four friends were dropping him through a roof? They had to cut that roof open because there's no way through the front door or window to bring him in. They were hungry for God to touch this man. They're willing to do whatever it takes. You've got the woman who had the blood disease. Anything to touch Jesus' garment just to be healed. Just to be healed. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want you. I want you. The third thing, committed. A passionate person is a committed person. Committed to what they're passionate about. They're ready to go the distance. They're not going to wave and wander when the wind blows. They're committed, and we said this before, and I'm using lingo that I want us as a church to begin embracing. They're committed to the whole thing, not just their thing. Committed person sees the kingdom of God at work, not just what I'm doing. I'm committed to God, what you are doing. They're part of a family of believers. We run together. We're committed to what God is doing together. They're working in one accord. They're running towards God, God's vision and purpose together. They avoid distractions. Committed person who has that passion for Christ is avoiding distractions. And my mentor, one of the things he says is avoid the noise or mixed messages. If you're committed to something, other ideas, other people, other things, if God has given you a purpose, a vision, a passion for something you're committed to, you're not going to let outside influences detract from that. A committed person says, sorry, that's great. But this is what I'm doing. I'm sticking to this because this is where God has me. This is what God wants me to do. And I will not be shaken. I'm not going to be stirred around. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to change. I am moving because I am committed to what God is doing with this group of people that God has brought me to do it with. Because rarely You have passion for something and you're alone. Rarely it's one person and they're all alone. Passionate people are drawn to other passionate people who run together. Drawn together. I found myself wanting to be with people where I am spiritually. I'm talking about even socially and in whatever way possible. I found myself hungry to and excited when I'm getting together, or even if it's a coffee or whatever, with somebody who's running the same way that I am, that wants the more, that's committed to what God is doing. The like-mindedness. And it's awesome that even now with our church, this family's growing with this level of commitment. That we're running together passionately for Jesus. They edify one another. They a committed person recognizes that they're part of a team. They're God's purpose-minded. They're kingdom-minded. It's about the kingdom of God. Not about my kingdom. I am committed, God, to what you are doing. And I will do whatever it takes to get there. Exercise my resources, use my skills, talents, gifts, time, whatever is sacrificed at your altar in obedience to do this. A couple of quick scriptures, you know, Ephesians 4:12, equipping the body. That's our vision verse. That's our purpose. We run together to build each other. 1 Corinthians, you know, in 12 through 14, talks about the whole gifts of the Holy Spirit and how we all use it together to build one another in the faith. Romans 12 talks about different parts of the body and coming together in such a way. We're committed together. We want to raise up daughters and sons of the King in this body, in this family, who are hungry for Him and are committed to running together in the same way with that same fire, because He is our source. We receive from His flame that passion. Not from another's flame, but from His flame that we hunger for and burn with. And speaking of flame, the last point I want to make about this, passionate person, what passion's about, it's someone who's on fire. Because when you're passionate about something, that's what they say, right? They're on fire. They're smoking hot. Listen to them. Whew, open up some windows. See, fire is contagious. Fire is very contagious. Someone's burning. I want to touch them. I want them to give me what they got. I want to burn with that fire of God. Why do we go to conferences? Why do we pray together? Why do we meet together? Because I want to feed off of your fire, and I want you to feed off of my fire. I want you to build me up with your faith as I build you up in my faith. I want to sharpen you as you sharpen me. We want to grow together and get ignited in a whole new way. It's wanting others to catch that same fire. It's pure excitement about what God is doing. I don't know about you, but when I see God touching people, that excites me. That so excites me. I mean, let's be honest and real for a second. There are churches who've got many more people than we do. Hundreds, if not thousands more. But you know what? I've never been to any church in my life where I've seen the Holy Spirit move the way He's been moving in this church. Making pure changes in lives. Making a difference. Now, I'm not saying there are churches that aren't doing that. I'm just saying I haven't been to any. Not the ones I grew up in or anything of that nature. But I've seen how God is touching people. We're seeing people's lives catch on fire and change. We're not just saying, this is what the Bible says to do, go do it, and expect it to be done. We're walking together. We're encouraging, edifying, rebuking, correcting. We're doing the things His Word says in the power of His Spirit. Why? To ignite a fire within all of us in this body, a fire that we want to catch that's going to cover this area, this community, one another. Anyone that walks in that door, I want them to be slammed with that fire of God, to be touched by that love of the fire that doesn't burn, but the fire that warms the soul, that embraces the soul. We want each other to catch on fire. I want what others have, and I want them to have what I have. It's imparting and blessing. A person on fire, I want to pour out what's burning in me onto you that you can burn. I want to impart it. Lay hands and impart it. I want to touch you and impart it. I want to bless you with it. Lord's been speaking to me so much since August, and I've shared this before, about being a son of God rather than a servant of God. Again, at the conference I was at last week, somebody out of the blue, as I was walking out to go to the bathroom, grabbed me, had a word from God, and it had to do about sonship. And he's like, "Does that sound right?" I said, "You don't know how right you are. God's been working on me. He's been teaching me about sonship. Today was about sonship and daughtership to our Heavenly Father. That was imparted on me by what took place in worship, and I want it imparted on you. Bless you with it." This is the things that God is doing. Mark 6, 30 through 34. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus, and he told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves." I want to stop here for a second. You know what just happened? Disciples had just come back from being sent out by Jesus to do some stuff. What happened? God worked through them. They came back and they couldn't stop telling Jesus what God did through them, what His presence did through them. They were so on fire. They were so excited about the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the salvations that took place when He sent them out, that they came back saying, "Jesus, look what happened. We did this. We did that. Look what God did." And he listened to them and said, "Okay, whew. All right, that's awesome. Let's go here and just rest. You've earned your rest. Let's go." But He was listening to them. They were so excited about the fire that was burning in them, that passion for what God just did. They couldn't stop talking about it to Him. So they went by the boat to the desert place. But the multitude saw them, and many knew Him, and they ran on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them. So what do we see here? We see Jesus sent out His disciples. They returned. They came back with a passion for what, an excitement for what they were able to accomplish. Then people followed Him. And as they were passionate for Him and His message, then people were hungry for His message. And He was passionate and had that fire for the purpose of God. That though He went away, He said, "I'm going to impart this on you." And He taught them. He had compassion on them. He ministered to them with that same fire. And if you read between the lines, it also sounds like the disciples did a little ministry of their own there too. He built on that. That flame that was within each heart began to grow and blossom. Just think about all the people Jesus healed and ministered to. Want to talk about fire? How many people He's told, "I'm healing you from leprosy," or "I'm healing you from broken bones and being unable to walk or speak," or "but don't tell anybody." You think they kept their mouth shut? I don't think there was a single person that I can think of off the top of my head right now who He told, "Keep your mouth closed, don't tell anybody," that didn't open up their mouth wide and brag about what God had did. It's excitement fire that's contagious. But what about the shepherds? When Jesus was born, I love just the story. If you read that end of that, the end of that story, after the shepherds had come, these illiterate, uneducated men came in complete obedience and faith to Bethlehem, worshiped the baby Jesus. On their way home, they couldn't stop rejoicing and telling anyone they ran into. That's a contagious fire. That's passion for the things of God. And this passion will be evidenced in how we worship, how we talk, how we act. It will exude from our very essence in how we are and who we are. Who we are. You know, one of the most purest signs of passion for God is joy. If you have the joy of the Lord, they're going to know there's something so different about you, and it's a sign of your passion for Him. But if I'm going walking around with a sad face, always stressed out, always complaining, that's not passion. That's the opposite. That's a quenching of that. But that joy, remember, your passions translate. That joy is an evidence, one of many evidences of your passion for the Lord. So I want to encourage you this morning, walk with that joy. Walk with that fire. Walk with that hunger. Walk with that obedience. Walk with that repentant spirit. Walk with that commitment to the things that God is doing in your life and with us as a body. And don't just walk. Sometimes you need to run. Run with it. Because that's how it'll become contagious. I am so thankful because I see this passion growing in so many. In addition to joy, you know what's another evidence? Is you include other people. Come to Bible study. Come to church. Come to this. Come to this event. Come join us for this. Come have lunch with me and share with me. Let's pray together. These are evidences of that passion. My prayer for this morning was that we would walk away, not just because of the message, but because of His presence here and His purpose in His presence, with a hunger and an ignited heart for more, an increase in this passion for the things of God, in what we do and who we are. See, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You want to quench that passion? Believe you can't. You want to ignite that passion? Stand tall in Him and know He's behind it. Let Him move. Let Him move. Let Him move. Give Him the room in here to do what He needs to do to get us going. Would you stand with me right now, please? Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. As I ask the Holy Spirit how He wants me to close the service today, one of the things is just a body together just repenting and renewing a commitment to those things that we talked about. So Lord, as a body, we come before You right now. And Father, we just say we're sorry for not having the zeal for You that we should. Not opening the doors of our hearts and letting what's been concealed be revealed to be healed by Your touch, so that there will be room in this healthy heart of mine, healthy mind, for You to flow and Your passion grow in me for the things of You, the more of You. Lord, right now we receive Your fire. We receive your fire, Lord. We receive your fire right now. I want to ask if the worship team can go back. All you guys on the worship team, go back. I want to do the last song you did, Breathe. And we're going to ask specifically for the hunger and that fire to come down, Lord. Just want to take a few